Say, yeah, so you're online, but you don't really want anyone to know. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Are you both got an online presence? No, no, Messi, they keep you down. I had a discussion with Sam the Wise the other day and said, do you think I should have more of an online presence? And he looked at me and went, I'm not sure. You're a bit frail. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll deal with it. No, he's absolutely right. Okay, I want to talk about people who earn an enormous amount of money, even though the thing they manage is useless. Discuss.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 5 o'clock, two people, including a child, have been seriously injured after a car drove into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade. Four people were trapped under the vehicle in the centre of Liverpool and 27 were taken to hospital. A 53-year-old white British man from Merseyside has been arrested. Jenny Sims is Assistant Chief Constable of Merseyside Police.
We believe this to be an isolated incident, and we are not currently looking for anyone else in relation to it. The incident is not being treated as terrorism. We would ask that people refrain from sharing distressing footage from the incident online, and please share any information directly with our investigation team.
Dozens of people were taken to hospital to be treated for their injuries. LBC's correspondent Chris Chambers has more.
We know that 27 people had to be taken to hospital. Two of those had serious injuries, one of those being a child. We know that 20 patients were treated at the scene for their injuries, and four people were actually trapped underneath the car. One of those was a child, and they had to be freed as Merseyside Fire and Rescue Service lifted the car to get them out of there.
Ministers have promised 120,000 new apprenticeships and training opportunities for young adults in England. It's part of efforts to increase workers' skills and cut net migration. About 45,000 places will be funded by the charge paid by employers for bringing in foreign workers. Junior doctors in England have started receiving ballots for renewed industrial action. The British Medical Association is calling for more than the 4% pay rise and uplift of £750 offered last week. It says the door remains open for ministers to come forward with a solution. Industry figures show food inflation rose for a fourth consecutive month in May. The British Retail Consortium says food prices are now 2.8% higher than a year ago, up from April's 2.6%. And AFC Wimbledon have secured their return to League One after a three-year absence. They beat Walsall 1-0 in the League Two playoff final at Wembley yesterday. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 87.12 after closing down 29 on Friday. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.19. LBC weather, cloud and rain spreading across England and Wales, sunny spells and showers in Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Payne.
Three minutes to the second past 5 o'clock. They're just stupid next door. They're all getting excited about the FTSE. What? Because I'm genuinely 87. I thought, well, what does that mean? Is that good or bad? And they just started laughing at me. So, yeah, I must get in touch with my stock trader. All I know is that when Trump, the only sort of financial thing that I do know about is I look at my pension every so often, and a bit of me and my financial advisor, well, he's just a mate who knows about money. He says, "Liz, hold up, don't worry," because I panicked. When Trump said his stuff about tariffs, my pension, I lost about 35 grand in 2 days. I mean, it was just horrendous. I've never been in a stock market crash while I've had interest in it, but... Phew. And I spoke to my friend and I said, what do I do? What do we do? And he said, just keep calm. It'll be fine. And sure enough, it's recovered back to exactly what it was. So Trump had his moment of madness, sobered up, and now it's fine again, you know. So I tend not to worry too much about the stock market and the FTSE and sell this and buy that. And, oh, wait a minute. And it just would drive you mad. Far more interesting, actually, we've got a lot of people who've got in touch. You can give us a ring if you want. 4 o'clock, we don't really take calls. 5 till 6, yeah, we'll take a few if they're interesting. And then 6 o'clock, we go, you know, full phone in. So between now and 6 o'clock, we normally give you two topics, one heavy, one light, because we haven't decided what the tone of this hour should be yet. 4 o'clock is just everything goes. 6 o'clock is heavy because management's listening. And 5 till 6 is a kind of hybrid, one of each. So let me continue with some of the stuff that sometimes, you know, you finish, oh, that's it, the hour's over, we've got to stop with that topic. And I think, no, if you've got interesting things to say, let's let it dribble on. So living in a van or living on a boat, have you done either of those? The reason we're talking, everything has a news value and a news peg for it. So living on a boat is that the lock keepers here in London and along the Thames have voted almost unanimously to go on strike. Have you ever lived on a canal boat? Have you lived on a boat? Maybe you're listening to LBC on a luxury, on Simon Cowell's boat as we speak, or you may not be somewhere in the Med. So have you lived on a boat? I can't think of anything worse, to be honest. If you're going to live on a luxury boat, there are much more luxurious houses on terra firma. And that's what I would recommend. But if you love boats and messing about on boats, I'd make every weekend I used to come from postgraduate college and we used to go sailing for like half a day. And I'd be like, why am I doing this? It's just so boring. We never see anyone. We never talk to anyone. And then you spend about an hour cleaning up when you berth afterwards. It was like, can't we just go to the pub? Anyway, that's one. The other is living in a van. This is because Sam the Wise, my producer, has decided that he is going to save money by living in a van. A sprinter van, I think they're called. Stacey's got in touch. What, sorry? Because of savings. Oh, it's a Mercedes. That's okay then. Are they all? But the sprint, it's still a sprinter van, isn't it? Right. Okay, fine. So all sprinters are Mercedes. Like all clarets come from Bordeaux. It's the same kind of thing. You'd know that. Ian, I've lived in a van for 3.5 years now, says Stacey. It's an MWB Renault Master. Whatever. I wouldn't go back to living in a house now. I enjoy my freedom too much. You can still have freedom in a house. I have a WhatsApp group with over 40 full and part-time vanners in it, says Stacey. And she doesn't say where she is. She just says from around Norfolk and Suffolk. So if we just call you Stacey of East Anglia, I think we'd be okay, wouldn't we? That's a Renault van. Oh, a bit bigger. That's the sort of thing that criminals would try and rob, isn't it? That's a Security Corps type van. I'm just saying that, you know. Zach is in sunny Greece. Oh, my great-grandfather used to work on canal boats in the north, transporting coal. That's Peaky Blinders. My mother recently found the original canal boat still in use today, no longer commercially, and she had a great time, probably more for the history than anything else. I don't know. Chris says, great canal journeys is good too with Tim and Prue. That's Timothy West and Prunella Scales we're talking about here. They did one episode in Vietnam, although it was less canal and more South China Sea. Fantastic episode. Alan says, why do you keep talking about canal boats when it's the lock keepers on the River Thames who are going on strike? And you can have any kind of boat you want. You don't have to have a narrow boat. And in fact, there are very few narrow boats part of the River Thames up there in Oxford and Windsor and Maidenhead. Alan is always the voice of reason. I don't know. I'm a no. And Stacey says, I'm a he, not a she. All right. Come on. If you saw Stacey on a letter, would you think man or woman? Not being... You would what? He did say man. You are a he, not a she. Who knows these days, Stacey, but thank you for pointing it out. Zach is... It's Zach, like Zachary. Doing well. Like a strawberry daiquiri. Zachary. Stacey. You evil lot. Hello, Stacey.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm a bloke, by the way, not a woman. Here.
You just, like I say, you never know. But anyway, does it matter? Gender fluidity, 2025, all that. When did you realise that your name was more commonly a woman's name?
It's a bloke's name.
Stacey. Stacey Solomon.
It's the shortened version of the Greek name Eustace, which is a male name, Ian. It's not a woman's name at all.
It's the shortened version of the Greek name what?
Eustace.
Eustace?
Yeah.
Stacey.
It's a male name. It's not a female name.
All right. I tell you what I'm going to do, Stacey, is I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to get people to ring in or phone in if you're called Stacey, or you can name a famous Stacey.
Oh, a male Stacey.
Yeah, go on. Name me another male Stacey.
Do you remember the TV series Hammer, the detective series on the telly, Stacey Keating?
What was it called?
The detective series was called Hammer.
Hammer?
Yeah, it was played by a male actor called Stacey Keating.
Oh, Stacey Keating. Casey Keating, did you say, or Keach?
Is it Keach or Keating, one or the other?
Which,
yes.
Which is the one who played the policeman in Cheech and Chong, Up in Smoke? Was that him?
I wouldn't have a clue.
You know, the guy he was done for smoking dope off camera, and he turned up in that Cheech and Chong film, which is all about people smoking dope, and he turns up and he just stands at the van is on fire because it's made of dope. So the fumes are coming off, and they're marijuana fumes, and he comes to the front of, he looks at the exhaust pipe and all this stuff's coming out, and he takes an enormous hit without realizing it. Then he goes to the front of the van, knocks on the window. Cheech and Chong winds the window down and looks at the police officer, and the police officer looks at him and goes, "What do you want?" Because he's forgotten and he's completely stoned. And he says, "Nothing." And he goes, "Oh, okay." And then there's a pause. And then Stacey Keach looks at him and goes, "Can I have a bite of your sandwich?" Because he's got the munchies. Absolutely. Okay, Stacey Keach, I'll give you that one. All right. If anyone else wants famous Stacey's, tell us about living in a van, Stacey.
What was it you want to know? I think there's more freedom than living in a house, Ian.
Tell me why you decided to take this bold step.
Unfortunately, it was due to the breakdown of a relationship that I was in.
As
probably, unfortunately, a lot of the people that live in vans, a lot of people in vans are men sort of above the age of about 55 years of age that unfortunately have found their way into vans and broken marriages because financially you can't afford houses.
Did the relationship break down because of your name? I was thinking, I'm going to ask this.
Funnily enough,
I'm going to ask this, and I think Stacey's a decent guy, and he won't take offence. So I'm really glad that you took it the way it was intended. What was your wife's name, Brian?
No, my girlfriend's name was Sarah.
Sarah,
yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
Okay, loads of people getting in touch.
Although I do have a male friend now who lives part-time in a van, and her name is Tim.
Her name is Tim?
Yes, Tim.
Why not, frankly?
Yes, you see, we're a funny bunch in vans.
We are. So you sort of took to the van because of unforeseen circumstances, but you loved it so much you basically bought the company, like Victor Kiam.
I came to van life from necessity, and I stayed out of love.
Well, well, well. And have you found another Mrs. Wright?
I'm looking, but it's difficult.
Okay. I suppose it comes down to the bit where you're getting on really well, you're on your third glass of wine together, and she says, "Where do you live?" And it all goes pear-shaped from there.
Well, no, I'm up front in as much as I tell them, you know, at the very earliest, the first time that we chat online or whatever. Mm. So they know that from the off. The only problem would come that somewhere down the road when a relationship gets serious, there would be that point where she goes, "Do you want to move in with me to my house?" And I'm like, "Do you want to move in with me in my van?" And I don't really want to live in a house again. And I don't think she'd want to live in a van again.
You see, this is the thing. I completely understand. If you've got kids, I get it. But if you haven't got kids and you're dating someone, why do you have to live together? Don't you like that light, slight independence, but you love being together when you are?
No, ideally, from my point of view, I'm looking for a girl with her own van so that we can share a van when we want to.
And you'll be Stacey Two Vans.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay. So if you were writing a sort of Lonely Hearts column, what's Stacey looking for in a woman?
I don't know, really. I'm fairly open to young ladies. You know, I don't mind. Approximately my age, so sort of probably 50 to 60 years of age.
50 to 60, yeah.
Yes, don't mind too much on body type or looks, although I am quite fond of redheads. I will be entirely honest with you.
Do they have to have webbed feet?
No, they don't have to have webbed feet.
Right.
I'm from the higher bits of East Anglia. I'm not from the Cambridgeshire bit where it's the Fens.
Okay.
What I mean?
But they mustn't be put off by slight...
slightly drier bits of East Anglia.
Yeah. They mustn't be put off by damp, though.
You know.
Oh, you're a good sport.
Desire to travel, maybe to, you know, good in confined.
That's the point, isn't it? That's the selling. That's the USP. It's like we can travel anywhere and take our house with us.
Precisely.
Yes.
I can wake up with a different view every morning. And I frequently, there are places I park up and I can park up 20 feet from a beach. And in a couple of weeks' time, I'm due to head off to the Peak District and I shall wake up to some fantastic.
Listen, the only thing that would convince me to live in a van would be if it was somewhere near the Med. I'm afraid the Peak District...
I have friends that do that every year.
Yeah, that I get.
Spend the summer in the UK.
Right.
And then about October time, they travel down and spend 6 months in Spain and Morocco.
Okay, so we found one other male... Tracy. Stacey. And is Stacey...
20 or 30 listeners, another one's male.
Stacey Jones is the drummer for Miley Cyrus's band, but... He used to be the lead singer in the American band Hi-Fi. I don't think that's relevant. So we're finding out, we're seeing about famous Stacey's. Thank you for being a good sport, Stacey. And
that's quite all right.
Drive safely. Not at all. We're not turning into a dating agency, but every so often, you know. So there's a sidebar that comes up. And I know that some people think it's silly, but it just cheers people up on another day of gloomy news across the nation. So, if you are called Stacey, I'd love to hear from you. I think I would still say it's mainly a girl's name, but it might be a boy's name. Maybe I've got that completely wrong. Or, alternatively, if you are a girl and you've got a boy's name, Chris, maybe, something like that, then I'd love to hear from you. And what's it like living a life with a name that either you envelop and hug, or is it a name that you reject and you just think to your parents, why did you do that? Why did you call me Malcolm, please? It's 17 past five. Good morning, Joanne Webb.
Thanks, Ian. On the trains, London Overground's Weaver Line can't run between Edmonton Green and Enfield Town. It's because of overhead wire problems at Bush Hill Park. On the Underground, there are minor delays on the Central Line between Epping and Loughton. That's because of the late finish of engineering works. And don't forget that Central Line trains aren't stopping westbound at Roding Valley Station, and that's because of engineering works. On the roads in Farnborough, the Croydon Road was closed for some time because a tree had fallen into the road. It has now reopened. That tree has been removed. And do expect delays again this morning in East Dulwich on the South Circular Road. Those temporary traffic lights still there at the junction with the Grove.
This is LBC.
Imagine your dream holiday made possible by comparing cheap flights on Kayak, walking on an unspoilt goes on for miles beach on the Sardinian coast, plunging into the splendour of an idyllic lagoon in Greece. This is the life. All you have to do is actually book it. Don't holidays. Use Kayak to compare prices from hundreds of travel sites and airlines to find your dream deal. Search Kayak and go see for yourself.
Big, big, big motoring world. Wow, wow, wow motoring world.
Yes, that's right. Big Motoring World is also Wow Motoring World because we price check our cars every day to guarantee you our best price, with up to 95% of them below market value. Big Motoring World, we're big on what matters to you. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Ian Payne on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Our breakfast reporter Fraser Knight is up good and early today, and he's across everything that's been happening on Merseyside after that horrendous incident during the parade last night. We'll bring you full details of that. Again, if you have been an eyewitness or you would like to tell us your account of what you saw, rather than your opinion about what the theories are behind the whole incident, which, because we're not here to speculate, we're just here to hear your factual account of what you saw, then please do so. Interesting take up on Stacey. You do know, of course, that John Wayne, the famous American actor, his real name was Marion. It was. You're absolutely. Tough guy rapper Ice-T's first name is Tracy. Yes. Then there's Casey, as in Casey Jones, the train driver in that old TV series. Isn't there a Lady Casey who's always doing independent reviews? Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about that. Princess Michael of Kent, there we are. People who are women who have men's names and vice versa. I'm not saying Stacey is a girl's name, but when I first thought of it, I thought of Stacey Solomon, and I assumed when Stacey said, texted in saying, I live in a van, he, she was a she, but it's a he. I was wrong. The wrestler Big Daddy, his name was or is Stacey Crabtree. Was it Stacey? It was Crabtree, but I'm not sure it was Stacey. Morning, Ian, says Chris. My third name is Alwyn. It's more common for females, is it? Alwyn sounds Welsh to me. That's with an O. Alwyn, the male version, is normally A, but I always have always hated it. It's funny, isn't it? Big Daddy was... It's Shirley Crabtree. Yes, not Stacey Crabtree. I thought so. Shirley Crabtree. But you see, sometimes women's and men's names are so fascinating looking at... If you look at Icelandic women, every single woman is called Dottir at the end, which basically means daughter of. So it'll be Svensson Dottir or whatever. So it's the daughter of Svensson, whereas the men are always son of. So it's son. Like we have Stevenson, but we haven't gone the full hog with Dottir. In Poland, the women's name tends to end in an A, and the men's name ends in an I. So, for example, we had a university lecturer called Andrew Piasecki and a student called, what was her name? Claire Piaseka. So it's interesting. We don't go for that, do we? But we can do names that are both. Shirley Crabtree, yeah, all of you. Stacey Dorning, TV comedies from the 70s. That rings a bell. Is that a man or a woman, though? Stacey Dorning. I don't know. All of you saying Shirley Crabtree. It wasn't Stacey Crabtree. Thank you. My tea's arrived. Oops. I've spilled it. Disaster. Sorry, Martha. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Sorry about the tea.
She doesn't have a big role, but whenever she does, whenever you do hear her. Total disaster. All she had to do was hand me a cup of tea and I just basically bungled it. Oh dear, I don't got any tissues. That's why I wasn't very good at telly. I know, there was always spinach in my teeth. Stacey Keach, the American actor, is another woman's name. Yeah, we've done him, her. Princess Michael of Kent's name is Mary Christine. She was next to me on another pod on the London Eye once. Just her and two other friends. They'd obviously... Because normally when you're on the pod on the London Eye... I don't know why she was there either. When you're in a pod on the London Eye, there's about 8, 10, 15 of you, but she'd commandeered the whole thing. So it was just her husband and two mates. I thought, well, that's easy. I should say I've got some royal ties. In Zimbabwe, Tendai can be a girl or a boy. I'm Tendai and I'm a boy, says Isaac. Why does the name at the bottom of every message contradict the name of the person who says they sent it? Martha makes a grand entrance, a star is born. Yeah, I know. Hillary Jones. Yes, Hillary Jones, who lived very next door to or very near to my parents, Hillary Jones from Basingstoke. You've brought in loads of things now.
The tissues.
I know they're tissues. Sorry about this. This is very unprofessional radio. It really is. It's unprofessional, but it's just, it is a shambles. It's another new low. It really is. I know a male Hillary. Yes. How about Ruby Walsh, champion jockey, says Chrissy in Cornwall. My parents lived in Bradford when I was first born and knew Shirley Crabtree's brother. This is why we like this programme, because it's like, I don't know a celebrity, but I know someone who has a connection with a celebrity in a banal situation. I mean, Pete the Pool Man is a classic. He knows everybody because he fixes their pool, but he won't tell us whose pools they are because he doesn't want to let on. He just wants to let us know that he is a friend to the stars. Lynn Davis, the Olympic athlete, the long jumper, has the same name as an ex-girlfriend of mine. There you are, Lynn. Would you call your son Lynn? I'm not sure. Angela says, I know three Kellys. Two are female and one is male. Christo says, does he live in Maple Durwell? I think he does live in Maple Durwell. Well, he certainly used to live in Maple Durwell. He was a GP, because my family's all medical, and Hillary Jones was the GP in one of the local practices. I think he still is, actually. My parents live in Bradford when I was first born, and I knew Shirley Crabtree's brother. We don't hear about him very often, do we? What was his name? Who was the referee in matches? They invited Shirley round for tea one time and then started panicking that he would break any of the chairs that they had. I remember going on a talk about people who could break furniture. I remember going on a flight to Sydney for the Olympics, and part of the British team was on the flight with us, and one of them, and I can't remember his name, was an enormous shot putter. He was huge. He'd actually bought two seats because he couldn't physically fit in one of the seats. Philip is in South Norwood. Are you called Stacey?
No, I'm not called Stacey, but I've got an actor, an American actor, who used to be on television quite a lot in American productions, a guy called Stacey Harris.
Stacey Harris. Al, yes. Could we look up Stacey Harris, Stacey please? Harris. With an E in Stacey?
S-T-A-C-Y-H-A-R-R-I-S.
No
Stacey
E.
Harris.
All right, fair enough.
And he was in, I suppose you'd call him, what you call him, just a regular player when they wanted someone for a certain role. He usually played policemen or gangsters, and he was in so many TV productions that I've seen over the years.
Ah, right, I've got a picture of him.
Yes, Stacey Harris.
There's lots of people you recognise, but you don't know their name. I'm glad you mentioned this, because I've got a double-spread article here in the eye. So, do you watch television a bit?
Oh, occasionally, you
occasionally.
Know,
all right, so have you heard of a man called Mark Bonner, B-O-N-N-A-R?
Oh, yes, I think he's one of those names, very similar with Stacey, but in this country, that you see somebody...
That's it.
Yes, it's difficult to say to put...
I can't really do this any justice, apart from saying... Mark Bonner, you're probably going, Mark Bonner.
Yeah.
He's an actor, and he will have been in something you've seen, because he's in almost everything. Go and look up Mark Bonner, B-O-N-N-A-R, and you'll go, oh, right, him. Because when you hear Mark Bonner, you just go, what? It's a bit like the guy, me and Dominic Ellis were talking about it this morning. What's his name?
You mentioned Stacey Keach.
Stacey Keach, we've mentioned him.
I've got a story about Stacey Keach. Stacey Keach, Ian, made a great film. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's called Road Games.
Road Games?
It's a must-watch. It's Stacey Keach and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
And it was made by a man who worked under Alfred Hitchcock. A guy called Richard Franklin. And it's a film, I've watched it several times. It's a great film. It's set in Australia.
Yeah.
And Stacey Keach is a truck driver, you see. He delivers.
Right.
And he delivers stuff from Adelaide across the Nullarbor Plains to Perth, you see. And he witnesses what he thinks is a murder.
Mm.
And most of the action in the film takes place in the cab of his big, articulated, frozen food lorry.
Oh.
If you've never seen it, it's a really...
So it's Stacey Keach, and it's called...
Road Games, with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
And it was filmed in Australia, and it's a very, very...
All right,
good film.
So let me ask you about your knowledge of Stacey Harris. Stacey Harris starred as a character called Doug Carter in a film called Doorway to Danger. Can you name the year?
Oh, I would think in the 60s.
No.
50s?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know he went quite a way back. I remember...
Which year, though?
He was in a TV series. I think it may be used. I don't know why they pulled it out. It was called Return to Peyton
Place. No, I'm not interested in Return to Peyton. What is a year of Doorway to Danger, please?
Doorway to Danger, 1957.
Philip, 53, but thanks for playing. Good luck. Thank you. Have a lovely day. There's Philip in South Norwood. Lee says... Oh, this is Lee from... Is this Lee from Maidenhead or Dartford? Lee from Dartford. You know me as Lee. My name is actually Stacey. Is it? Oh, I'm always going to be calling you that now. Can it be? It can be confusing and embarrassing at times. I know, I know. How about a boy named Sue? Well, there you go. Here's another actor that you probably can recognise immediately because he appears in all those British TV serials, crime dramas, etc. His name's Andrew Buchan. Have you heard of Andrew Buchan? Anyone? He's another person who, you see him on telly and you think, God, and he's so versatile. So anyway, Andrew Buchan, look him up and you go, oh yeah, Andrew Buchan, not quite, you know. He's from Stockport. Do you want to know any famous people from Stockport? Would you like to know some famous people from Stockport? Tess Daly? Claire Foy, which really surprised me, from The Crown. She's posh Stockport. Ricky Hatton, maybe not quite so posh. Yvette Fielding, Blue Peter... actress, and the gorgeous Michelle Keegan, new mother. Michelle Keegan married to Mark Wright. Michelle Keegan from Brassic. Brilliant. Very funny. The time's 5:30. Shall we get the news headlines? Here's Thomas Watts.
About 50 people, including four children, have been injured after a car ploughed into fans celebrating Liverpool's Premier League win. A 53-year-old white British man was arrested at the scene of yesterday's incident, which is not being treated as terrorism. Ministers are pressing ahead with plans to scrap public funding for the highest level apprenticeships in England. They are promising to create 120,000 more entry-level training opportunities to increase skills and help cut net migration. The King will give the address at the state opening of the Canadian Parliament later. Charles will become only the second British monarch to do so after the late Queen in 1957. LBC weather, cloud and rain spreading across England and Wales, sunny spells and showers in Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 degrees.
This is LBC.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963, a Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
I've had a few. Jimmy was my first. He was gorgeous and gave me so much space. Then there was Lorenzo. He was exciting, but also reliable. Elvis is my latest. I love him the most. He makes me feel so warm with his heated seats and steering wheel. It might sound strange to love a car and name them, but it's not just me. Almost every Honda Jazz owner stays with the Jazz and buys another. True love starts with a test drive. Honda, the power of dreams.
This is LBC with Ian Payne. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Do keep your probably WhatsApp messages and text messages going. The WhatsApp number is the same as the phone number, 0345 6060 973 for people who have a name that suggests they might be a different gender. You know, like Shirley Crabtree, the wrestler, Big Daddy, that kind of thing. And we're going to take things slightly more seriously as we approach 6 o'clock because talking about people who don't do a very good job but still get remunerated for it, like the NHS managers, so many of them, over 500 NHS managers, not doctors or nurses, receive higher salaries than the Prime Minister in the financial year 2023-24. Vice Chancellors, even though that their particular NHS trust isn't making money and is actually doing really badly. Also, you could talk about the CEOs of water companies where, you know, awful, awful standard of water safety and yet still earning huge amounts. Academies, these are state schools, but they're slightly different because they're kind of a little bit more autonomous than normal state schools. The best paid academy chief has been defending his £500,000 a year salary. And of course, there's all the vice chancellors at university. Universities claiming they don't get as much money as they did. And yet some vice chancellors, like the one at Imperial College, earning up to £700,000 a year. Are they worth it? And we'll also be talking about creatine as a slightly lighter subject, which has been suggested is not only just for bodybuilders, will actually deal with all sorts of midlife health problems. I'll explain more in just a second. First of all, though, Fraser Knight joins us, our reporter at breakfast, to tell us the latest from Liverpool. What are we learning?
Yeah, Ian, this was a day yesterday that was supposed to be full of celebration. Of course, the Premier League trophy parade for Liverpool Football Club, up to a million people on the streets, but ending instead in absolute horror. A car driving into crowds of people on Water Street in Liverpool city centre just after 6 o'clock. It was after, just minutes really, after the bus had passed that area. And really, the scene of chaos that was painted around that as well. We had an update last night from emergency services saying around 50 people were injured, 27 people taken to hospital, four of them children, and at least one of those children understood to be seriously injured. It was quite late last night that we got this update from emergency services in a press conference from Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims, Nick Serrell from the Merseyside Fire and Rescue Service, and from David Kitchen from the North West Ambulance Service.
The car stopped at the scene and a 53-year-old white British man from the Liverpool area was arrested. We believe him to be the driver of the vehicle. I know that people will understandably be concerned by what has happened tonight. The incident is not being treated as terrorism.
On arrival, the crews were met with numerous injured people and four persons trapped under a vehicle. Our crews rapidly lifted the vehicle, removed three adults and one child from beneath and passed them to our ambulance service colleagues.
Sadly, four of the injured were children who were enjoying the day with their friends and their families. We can confirm that our teams treated 20 patients at the scene for minor injuries and these did not need hospital treatment. 27 patients in total were taken to hospital by ambulance and we believe two of those, including one of the children, have sustained serious injuries.
And you can imagine, Ian, just how busy this street was. I mean, lots and lots, hundreds of thousands of people out celebrating Liverpool in their Premier League win. And this is a street where, you know, it's quite wide, but actually it was packed full. And you can imagine the scene of the investigation afterwards. There's a huge blue and white tent that was erected right across the street there as the emergency services responded, and a lot of chaos and panic as well. We've been hearing from some eyewitnesses, including Natasha Renard, who was watching the parade from her friend's living room window, when she said they heard screams.
It was so loud, people sounded desperate. And then we looked at the window and we saw that the car ran over people. People started rushing to try to go after the driver and they tried to break the car. And then the police tried to block. They did everything to block and to push people away. And we could just hear screams and screams, and we were very confused.
And of course, we know what the community of Liverpool is like. They always come together in moments, you know, where they need help. And actually, social media last night really had filled up with people offering to support or get people home if they were trapped. Everyone sort of telling their friends and family whether they were safe or not. And as that police investigation continues, we're told the Prime Minister and the Home Secretary are being kept updated. But as you heard, the police there saying they're not treating it as terrorism. But the Prime Minister in a statement saying everyone, especially children, should be able to celebrate their heroes without this horror.
Thank you, Fraser. As Fraser Knight, our breakfast reporter. Again, we'll take your calls and your messages, not on what you think might have happened, but what you actually saw if you were at the parade. Do you or have you ever taken creatine? It's a buzzword supplement that everybody's talking about now. It turns out that it's not just for gym bunnies, those people who want to put on extra muscle, because it withdraws water and you become veiny. Is that the word? You know, you look all kind of built up like the Liver King. I don't know if you've seen that Netflix documentary about this strange guy who claimed he didn't take any supplements, but it turned out, was he ever. Anyway, it's been proven, creatine, to enhance muscle and energy. When I worked in sport for years, you know, loads of sports people took it quite legally as a supplement. You take it in powdered form, don't you? And then you add water and drink it as a liquid, a sort of protein shake in a protein shake. Okay. It's been proven to enhance muscle and energy. But the evidence is mounting that creatine may actually, I'm not a doctor, but it may play an important role in cognitive function. It could improve brain health, and it even helps in the fight against Alzheimer's. The two people I'd like to hear from in the next 20 minutes are people who are taking this. How does it make you feel? How do you take it? And if you are a medical professional, I'd love to hear what the current medical professional feeling is about creatine. It sounds a bit like vitamin D. You know, it's one of those things that almost everybody should take. I was listening to the television doctor, Dr. Mark Porter, had it in his newspaper column this morning, was talking about why he takes vitamin D all the time. And there are various, like statins when you get to a certain age. Should we all be having all these different kind of supplements and pills, or is a non-supplement diet still the healthiest way to live? I mean, we've got these fat jabs now, haven't we? Zempic and various others. And if you're scared of needles, apparently it is available, or will become soon available, in pill form. Will we all be on loads and loads of pills that are actually doing us some good? Or do we still not really know the long-term effects of these because people haven't been taking it for long enough? So what is creatine? Can anyone take it? And also, why could middle-aged women benefit from it more than men? That's the situation with creatine. If you take creatine, I'd love to hear from you. Have you taken it in some form of tablet or supplement? Does it work? And it's not just for piling on muscle, is it? It can help with all sorts of things. Women apparently going through the menopause, it can help you with that. It can help you with brain function. It can help, apparently, I'm not a doctor, it can ward off the onset of Alzheimer's or any form of dementia. I'd love to know from anybody, particularly from a medical professional, what the view is of creatine. 0345 6060973. If you ring now, you'll get through. Tell us your views on it. Have you been on it for some time? What are the health benefits? Any cons as well as pros? The phone number is the same as the WhatsApp number if you'd rather not phone us. The number is 0345 6060973. Same phone number as a WhatsApp number. If you prefer old-fashioned text, the number is still 84850, or you can ask your smart speaker Alexa. Others available, we prefer her. Alexa, send a comment to LBC. Please send the comment and include your name. 0345 6060973 is the number to ring. If you want to do something slightly lighter, I mean, you might be taking a different type of supplement that we haven't all caught on for. Jay has got in touch and says, what about gummies? Now, gummies is something that I get sent as an advert. They've obviously worked out that, I don't know, I've been talking about the fact I go to the gym for a spinning class once a week, and my algorithm has heard me doing it and is suddenly sending me all these adverts for these things called gummies. I don't know if you've seen them. They're basically little, they're like sweets, but they are creatine. Creatine Max, I think it's called. BCAAs, whatever that means. Anyway, and it's just like having a sweet every day. It's like that tallow. Do they call it tallow? That stuff that we put on your skin. And people like me who are just beginning to develop bags suddenly look 20 years younger. You've seen those adverts on the front of all the papers saying, I'm 62, but my biological age is 21. How do I do it? Have these gummies. Have creatine. Does any of this actually work? Mike's in Chesham. You've been on this for a while, have you?
Yeah, morning, Ian.
Morning.
I train quite regularly, and I take creatine and glutamine each morning. I take 10 grams. I just put it into my drink.
Creatine and what was the other? Glutamine?
Glutamine, yeah.
What's that?
Basically another compound, the same, similar. I always took it for muscle growth.
Right.
I've watched a few podcasts over the last couple of years, and they've been, in America, they've been pushing it for the cognitive and the Alzheimer's and the other benefits, which I wasn't aware of. So
they, medically, they really think that it can boost cognitive behaviour?
Yeah.
Wow.
Basically, that's what they've been... Well, I've seen it for the last couple of years. It's just started popping up, but I was taking it for gym effects, really, for help with the muscle breakdown and filling cells up. And
so when you, yeah, when so, you when you take it, is it to look bigger?
It's help with recovery.
Recovery.
So you, obviously, when you're in the gym, you break down your muscles. That's what you're pushing the weights for.
Right.
And then it, and then that's why you take a decent diet and take other supplements to help the recovery, and that's when you get bigger or fitter. So it's not just like people do weights. It's all types of sports
any
that take it.
Any fear in the back of your mind that this might be unsafe in any way?
No, no, because it's a natural product. Your body holds it. You get it out of other foods, but you can't generally get enough of it. I take 10 grams, which is two scoops. Normally, you take 5 grams, which is one scoop, but I was after watching those podcasts and bits, I upped it to 10 grams. So I don't really feel any different, but then I've been taking it for years, so I wouldn't know what the
difference
was.
How would you counter what Glyn has just sent me a message saying, right, so now we're going to promote something that could have dangerous side effects. It'll be steroids next.
Well, plenty of people take steroids. They're on medical supervision from doctors, and it makes them better. But that it's a natural compound. It's like the vitamin D where we had the conversation the other week. You're just supplementing your body to make yourself a bit better.
Okay. And it does make you feel better, does it, mentally and physically?
I don't know.
Are you ever ill?
No, I'm not, to tell you the truth. But because I've taken it for so long, I don't know what it was like before. But it's not a huge... It's not like one of these things where you take it and it's like, oh, wow. Not like caffeine.
Fair enough. Mike, thank you very much. And one endorsement. John thinks we're being silly and dangerous broadcasting this. Here we go again, more medical. This time, a kind of drug that you know nothing about, yet you list the benefits. I am merely parroting what medical professionals have been saying. Well, they've been saying for years, but in earnest, in the last, well, I've noticed it in the last 10 days, creatine has become, you know, a supplement that most, if not all, medical professionals have suggested does you all sorts of good. Not, you know, it's a naturally created supplement in the body as well. So why not help it out? Morning Ian says, Richard, I'm 42. I've taken creatine for 20 years. It fills your muscles and aids recovery. Really well researched with proof of cognitive benefits. Very cheap, very safe, naturally found in red meat. Might set your stomach off at first, says Richard, and I'm sailing in the med. And he's on a boat. It's 6:15. Let's get the latest travel news from Joanne Webb.
Thanks, Ian. On the trains, London Overground's Weaver Line can't run between Edmonton Green and Enfield Town. And then there are minor delays between Edmonton Green and Bethnal Green. It's all because of overhead wire problems. On the Underground, there are minor delays on the Central Line between Epping and Loughton, and also minor delays on the Metropolitan Line between Wembley Park and Uxbridge. On the roads, there are delays on the A23 at Hooghly. This is the Brighton Road in both directions. It's all down to an accident right near to Church Lane. Police are on the scene directing traffic, but it is still very slow. And there were problems on the M1 northbound at Junction 11 at Dunstable South. A car broke down, but in the last few moments, that's just been recovered.
LBC, coming up this week on Nick Ferrari at Breakfast. A Labour government that's got problems with the workers. First the bins. Then the health service.
What do you want? When do you want it?
Now! And don't forget the classrooms and the teachers.
Teachers, where?
The Prime Minister did promise change, but is the country heading for a summer of discontent?
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast. Back this morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
I've had a few. Jimmy was my first. He was gorgeous and gave me so much space. Then there was Lorenzo. He was exciting, but also reliable. Elvis is my latest. I love him the most. He makes me feel so warm with his heated seats and steering wheel. It might sound strange to love a car and name them, but it's not just me. Almost every Honda Jazz owner stays with the Jazz and buys another. True love starts with a test drive. Honda, the power of dreams.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. GlobalAcademy.com.
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor. How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
This is LBC with Ian Payne.
I just wish to correct something, but kind of update something. When we're talking about the salaries of vice chancellors, and I said that the vice chancellor at Imperial College here in London was earning over £700,000. That used to be true. The former president of Imperial, Alice Gast, in the academic year 2021-22, received a total remuneration of £714,000, including a basic salary of £365,000. Now, Hugh Brady is the president, and the salary has stayed the same, £375,000. In 2023, his total remuneration actually was more than that, was £476,000. But in 2024, it was £461,000. This is because he donated a pay award he was offered to the Student Hardship Fund instead. More than happy to, if not correct, but update that. So we're talking about creatine. Is it such a wonder supplement as everybody says? If you're a health professional, I'd love a doctor to come on and tell us about the benefits or otherwise of creatine. So James is a new caller in Rotherhithe. Hello.
Hi.
You were on creatine. Are you still?
I stopped because for various other reasons I don't go to the gym at the moment. But I was on it for about 9 years while I was going to the gym.
And that was purely because you wanted to add what, muscle mass?
So basically it's one of the most studied supplements as far as gym supplements, and it has a very recognisable, but it's not a massive effect, but it is noticed that you do gain slightly more strength, slightly more muscle over time, but it's not like a massive effect. But
so you don't suddenly look like Wolverine?
No, but because of the way it functions, it pushes water into the muscle.
Right, what does that do?
It makes your muscles look fuller. So although that you're not gaining actual like protein muscle tissue initially, you will look fuller.
Right.
And it also works. It's to do with the energy turnover system in the muscle, so it can help you recover between your sets faster.
Was how old are you, James, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 35.
35, right. Okay, so your cognitive function wouldn't be adversely affected yet. Do you notice any mental boost at all?
I didn't personally, but I have become aware, because I still follow, even though I'm not going currently, sort of like the research and stuff. And there is some research coming out that it can help you function with less sleep.
I see.
So
you're no longer going to the gym, so you no longer take it. So yours was linked with your gym work.
Yeah, but after hearing about all the cognitive stuff, I may start taking it again, but it's like, for me, it was specifically for the gym when I was going.
Right, I see. Okay, well, that's quite interesting, I must say. Yeah. Because people, thank you very much, James. This is from, there's all sorts of, which one do you want? Women's Health, Sports Illustrated, or Men's Health? Let's look at Sports Illustrated. Creatine and the brain is an article here they've got here. Creatine isn't just for muscle. It could be, this is a day-old article, so we're up to date, to long-term brain health. Emerging research connects creatine levels to memory, learning, and the risk of neurodegenerative diseases. If you care about performance and cognitive longevity, creatine belongs in your routine. Obviously, as Sports Illustrated, they're looking at the impact it has on sports people. Here's an article in Women's Health magazine online. This popular supplement may help with Alzheimer's, new study shows. Really? What does the new study tell us? Creatine is everywhere on social media right now. In a small pilot trial published in one journal, researchers found that creatine monohydrate, that's to do with the water as we were hearing, may help improve cognitive function in individuals with Alzheimer's disease. So I'm not making it up, I promise. Why bother with some supplements, says Glad, when your body is already designed to heal itself? Our ancestors, even living in First Nation people living on the Amazon rainforest, would find this hilarious. Just eat proper food, unadulterated, unprocessed food. Diet, exercise, sleep, an active face-to-face social life should be more than enough, says Glad, 5'8". You're in residence at a sports resort, Tinajo, in Las Palmas, in Lanzarote. Ooh, good for you. Excellent. Do you take creatine? How have you noticed it has helped or otherwise your body and your fitness and your cognitive behaviour? And if you're a doctor, I'd love to hear from you in the next 5 minutes to tell us whether or not you would recommend this, or is this just one of those fads that people have had? Hello. No, I've read that one. Philip says, you don't just take creatine as a shake. I take 7 capsules a morning, every morning, 7 milligrams. I've only been on it for a month, and you're told to keep very well hydrated. I think it's too soon to notice any benefits. Okay. And still people are getting in touch with names that man's names for women and vice versa. Don't ask. It was something that came up earlier. For your information, says Angelo, the first name Kim is used by both men and women. Yes, of course, there are hybrid names that are used by both as well. So, yeah, the creatine. While I'm waiting, obviously, for all those doctors to ring in, let me give you the rundown in the newspapers so far this morning, all of them leading with the accident or otherwise at the celebrations for the Premier League parade in Liverpool. LBC's own publication, lbc.co.uk. Seriously injured child among 27 people hospitalised after car ploughs into crowds at Liverpool victory parade. Let's have a look at the front pages. Let's start actually with the Liverpool Echo. At least 47 injured in the Reds' title parade honour. So that's 27 went to hospital, 20 were treated at the scene and didn't need hospital treatment. The Independent actually doesn't have this story on its front page. Prison staff crisis blamed for surge in inmate affairs is their take. The Mirror has pictures of the scene in Liverpool. Elation then horror, leaving victims strewn across the street, writes the Daily Mirror. Let me have a look. What else have we got here? This is from The Sun. Dozens of people injured when a car collided with Liverpool fans attending a parade to celebrate the club's Premier League title win. I haven't heard. Have we heard of any pending press conferences? I don't think we have yet, have we? The last time we heard from all the emergency service leaders and the police was about 10 to 11 last night. This is The Sun's headline. Horror as car hits cop fans. The Star. Car crashes into fans on cop's big day. Horror at the parade. The Daily Express. Again, horror at the parade. Multiple fans have been injured in appalling scenes on Liverpool's streets, says the Daily Express. The Daily Telegraph, a car ploughing into a crowd of Liverpool fans left dozens injured. And the Times, horror at Liverpool parade. Times splashing on the horror at the Liverpool FC victory parade. As in terms of what we know and what's happened overnight, not a great deal more information. We know it's not terror-related. That's what the police have said. A 53-year-old white male was driving the car, they believe. It is now being questioned, believed to be from the Merseyside area. 4 children are among the dozens of people injured after a car ploughed into the crowd at the Liverpool FC parade. It was on Water Street, just by the Liver building, if you know your Liverpool. 27 people were taken to hospital. 2 suffered serious injuries, including 1 child. That's come from the Northwest Ambulance Service. A 53-year-old white British man has been arrested and is believed to be the driver of the vehicle, say the Merseyside police. Authorities say the incident is not being treated as terrorism. Obviously, thousands of people were on Liverpool streets. The police say 27 people, including 4 children, were taken to hospital after the collision. 20 were treated at the scene but didn't require treatment at hospital. Police have arrested a 53-year-old white British man who they believe was driving the car. They're not treating the incident as terrorism. Like I say, we knew all this at 11 o'clock. There will be some form of update, I assume, later this morning. LBC LBC will be covering that, and our sister station, LBC News. We'll be speaking to one of our regular guests here, the former Met police officer, Graham Whetton, who's going to give us his take on it. I mean, I suppose the question, I don't think I'm dangerously speculating here, but, you know, how did a car get on the parade route? To be honest, you would have thought that's the primary function of sealing off a city for something like this, because of all the mad people that have been ploughing cars into people over the last years in Europe. You would have thought that, but I don't know. Maybe that's a question to be answered. I don't know. Lots of reaction from the local dignitaries. Liverpool West Derby MP Ian Byrne said he was heartbroken by the incident. He said Liverpool's historic rivals Manchester United even offered their solidarity. Our thoughts are with Liverpool FC and the city of Liverpool after today's awful incident. It dominates the papers, as I've said. The fire chief actually tried to give us a few more details about how they freed people who were trapped under the car. He described what his crews encountered. They had to lift four people who were trapped beneath the car, and one of those rescued underneath the vehicle was a child, Nick Searle said. So that's what we shall be talking about in the next hour, obviously. But I'd invite your phone calls on a speech that Nigel Farage is due to give later today. It's a speech that will, I suppose he's sort of engineered it so that it comes after the local elections, and it will be specifically aimed, I think it's fair to say, on what Labour are not doing now. He's going to talk about the child benefit cap. He's going to be talking about winter fuel payments and tax breaks for marriage to boost births.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 6 o'clock, four children are among 27 people in hospital after a car ploughed into crowds during Liverpool's Premier League victory parade. About 20 other people were treated in the city centre at about 6 o'clock yesterday evening. A 53-year-old white British man from Merseyside has been arrested. Chelsea Ewan, who was there, says crowds were packed like sardines walking up a busy Water Street.
We heard beeping and screaming, and when we looked up, there was a black people carrier driving straight towards us, and me and my friend jumped out the way and pulled our little girl out the way.
Police are not looking for anyone else, and it's not